Every autumn, on the edge of the Arctic, polar bears gather to wait for the sea ice to freeze. And for a few weeks, they outnumber people in the tiny town of Churchill.
The start of a traffic jam here.
For tourists, it's a chance to see these Arctic icons firsthand.
Any closer, I'm going to get into the car.
But living alongside one of the world's biggest carnivores, you can never let down your guard.
The bear's jaw was on my head. I could feel that he was ripping my scalp off.
To keep things under control, the authorities have resorted to some interesting techniques.
Now that is something you don't see every day.
As a wildlife cameraman, I'm used to spending time with these beautiful creatures out in the wild.
There's a majesty to them that is unrivaled.
But life in the polar bear capital of the world...
Maybe start the engine, Freddy.
...is going to be a different challenge altogether.
Okay, that's enough.
Life in Polar Bear Town with Gordon Buchanan. A polar bear wandering across tundra with a plane taxiing in the distance behind it.
It's late October and the start of Churchill's bear season. My plane is packed with tourists, all eager for their first polar bear sighting. I'm hoping to beat them to it. So on my way into town, I get the latest from my cabbie, Lawrence.
So when was the last bear spotted in town?
Wednesday, they scared it out on the south end of town. They scared it across the river. See this open area? There's always a bear around here. I don't know why.
Seems a very unlikely place to see polar bears.
Well, they were here before us.
The taxi rolls on through the small, low-level town.
Churchill is a small town in the Canadian province of Manitoba, perched on the edge of Hudson Bay. It began life as a trading and military outpost, and today it retains that frontier feel. There's nothing for hundreds of miles in any direction. And the only way in is by air, or a two-day train journey.
A train trundling along.
Ordinarily, a town like this would just be somewhere that I was transiting through on my way to some remote place to find some exotic creature. But this time, the town of Churchill is my destination. 700 people live in the town year-round, and up to 1,000 polar bears migrate through this area. Some of them directly through the town.
A Canadian flag flying on a bin and another larger one by a house.
Churchill is right on the edge of the Arctic, but its location on the shores of Hudson Bay makes it a haven for polar bears.
A bear stalking towards the bay.
Each winter, the bay freezes over and the bears head out onto the sea ice to hunt. Bears use the ice as a platform to access their favourite blubber-rich meal, ringed seals. When the ice melts in spring, the feast is over and the bears return to shore.
Polar bears on grey rocks.
But the Arctic is warming faster than anywhere else on Earth, and the sea ice they depend on is slowly disappearing.
A slushy road running through the town.
In late October, the temperature is beginning to fall. There's no sign of the ice just yet, but the bears have arrived.
Up, we can up that way.
Yeah, we can go. We can take the next one if you want.
Local guide Dennis Campari is going to help me find them.
I've heard of Churchill, I've seen kind of the images, I've seen the footage of bears in the town, but now that I'm here, I'm really struggling to just picture these animals in somewhere like this.
Yeah, well, it really is a double take when you see a bear walking down the road, you know, just nonchalantly. It's pretty bizarre.
How long have you been here?
Yeah, I was born and raised here.
Really?
When I was a kid, my only nightmare was a polar bear. The dead of winter in Churchill is crazy, man. And you get these banshee winds all night and these crazy scrapings on your wall. You figure, that's it, I'm a goner. So as a kid, you're terrified.
They drive on past large grey buildings with boarded up windows.
So we're heading now this way. We're going to go this way. They call it Polar Bear Alley.
Let's hope it lives up to its name.
They splash through a wide puddle.
So here's a good sign that there's something going on here.
Oh, there you go. Right over there.
Let's go have a look at this guy.
They get out, and Gordon sets up his camera and looks through the viewfinder to see a polar bear padding across a stony landscape.
It's very relaxed.
It meanders along towards a patch of dried grasses.
Not worrying at all. She's kind of picking her way through the grass. It's just exquisite, it really is. And we've got, hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 vehicles. Is this a usual kind of...
See, that's resources there. They're going to chase the bear away.
In Churchill, a team of conservation officers is responsible for keeping people safe. They've decided to try and turn this bear around before it gets any closer to town.
See, I'd be inclined just to kind of let it go wherever it wants.
Certainly.
Even if that's straight through the middle of town.
The bear's stopped.
Hey, Dennis.
How you doing? What do you want us to do?
Just get in your vehicle there. Okay, thank you.
Get in the vehicle. Seems a bit of a shame because we've found this polar bear. We're getting some nice shots of it. We've got to get into the vehicle because the resources are going to chase it away. Oh well.
In Churchill, unsurprisingly, the conservation officers are well armed.
This guy's going to get it right now.
Firing blanks in the air is usually an effective way of moving a bear on.
She's got the message. You know, having spent a bit of time with polar bears before, I thought there's no threat here. This is a polar bear aware of us, sort of cautious, but absolutely not acting aggressively whatsoever. So I feel a little bit sorry for the bear because it was sort of an aggressive act coming back at it for just minding its own business. This place is interesting because you've got two of the world's most dangerous creatures as neighbours, humans and polar bears. I know the ones that I trust more. It's the big furry white ones. Thank you for that. You showed me my first Churchill bear.
That was the first bear, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The bear ambles away.
These bears haven't had a proper meal for months. And with the weather still too warm for the bay to freeze, it's all about conserving energy.
They drive past a polar bear standing right by the roadside.
The roads here are full of tourists looking for their next photo opportunity, as am I.
They pull to a halt along a road that borders rocks leading down to the bay, where a polar bear is standing.
That's kind of pretty, eh?
Gordon climbs out of the truck, holding his binoculars.
The start of a traffic jam here. For me, actually seeing a polar bear in the company of, what, maybe kind of 30 people, very strange. It's kind of a little bit of a circus with the bears right at the heart of it.
A bear amidst grey rocks. Then the long lens of a camera and people taking photos on their phones out of car windows.
It's coming back. Any closer, I'm going to get into the car. It's definitely being affected by what's going on here, because one moment it's walking to my left and then it stops and turns round. I get the feeling it would prefer that none of us were here.
The bear walks across the road, just a few feet away from photographers and parked vehicles.
Film away if you must. All he wanted to do was cross the road, didn't it?
I feel sorry for the bears because bears have got their own agenda. They want to sort of do their own thing, and it seems that kind of human beings are standing in their way, whether that is conservation officers kind of waiting to take action, whether that's kind of polar bear tourists. But then in saying that,
these vehicles may be full of people that have, it's their lifetime ambition to come and see a polar bear. They've paid a lot of money to come up here to see one, and right now there might be someone in one of those cars having fulfilled that dream.
A woman crouches down by her open car door with a long lens camera.
Thousands of tourists come to Churchill every year. And if they're lucky, they'll see a bear near town. But the closest they'll get to a guaranteed sighting is a tour of the wildlife management area to the east of town. A nature reserve where the bears can roam free. Tourists travel into the wilderness in style. The enormous buggies are raised up on huge off-road tyres, giving a great view and keeping the windows out of reach of curious bears. My driver today is Marcus Petak.
I am obsessed by this vehicle.
Impressive, isn't it?
So did it kind of start off as a bit of a Frankenstein buggy to begin with?
It did. It was a group of friends in the late 70s that wanted to view bears safely, and they're manufactured here in Churchill.
You are seeing people achieving a lifetime's ambition.
No doubt, yeah. Lots and lots of our visitors, they have that bucket list location, right, destination. And we get to bring out people that are really late in life. Some of them are ill, if you can imagine, and this is something that they've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's pretty magic.
The enormous white buggy rumbles over the snow.
There's one there, is it?
Do you see a bear ahead?
Just at the side of the lake.
I think you just spotted one, Gordon. So I'm going to pull up as close as we can here and see what we've got. Take a look at this little juvenile. So this is about a 4 or 5 year old, I would say.
Yeah,
but a very healthy looking bear.
Oh, wow.
It's great to see this bear, but the actual response sort of from everyone, as soon as you saw it, everyone's like, oh, and you hear sort of that excitement.
Thousands of people, they visit us over the course of a season from all over the world. They learn about, you know, this environment. They learn about that animal's experience, and they learn about how things are changing, you know? It connects them with the world around them.
If there are any negatives, what might they be?
I personally don't see one. As long as we're not frustrating the bear, angering the bear, getting its heart rate up, we're fine.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't ever feed the bears. We don't whistle to them. We don't, you know, bang the side of the machine. We don't try to draw their attention that way. We just kind of sit and observe them in their environment. It's like we're in the cage and we move the cage around. Yeah. It's like this weird anti-zoo. It's pretty cool.
Gordon carries his camera out onto the open deck.
Where are you, bear?
There you are.
Something decidedly odd about this. You know, generally, my job is a solitary one. I don't tend to do it with much of a crowd. Where are you off to, Mr. Bear? Personally, having had the benefit and luxury of spending time with polar bears in the past, I like to try and occupy the same little space on the planet as the animal. Here, I just feel you are separate from its world. There is a kind of human domain here, and there's a polar bear's domain there. We're kind of alien visitors, that's how it feels.
Two of the large-wheeled all-terrain buses rumble off across the snow.
The town of Churchill is remote, and it feels isolated from the rest of Canada. Eking out an existence here is tough. And the port, which was a big employer in town, recently laid off much of its workforce. So tourist season is a welcome boost to the local economy, starting in the summer when huge numbers of beluga whales arrive in the mouth of the river.
Mother and calf on the left side coming up!
Tourists on a boat photograph white belugas in the sea.
In the autumn, the bears and the sightseers arrive in force. But while the tourists enjoy their brief flirtation with danger, the locals have to live with the bears week in, week out.
In a diner.
Gypsy's Diner is a magnet to tourists and locals alike.
You must be Fred.
Yes, I am.
Gordon.
The public face of Gypsy's is Fred Da Silva.
How old were you when you arrived in town?
20.
Oh, really?
20 years old. It was a little bit of a shock. I wasn't a small town boy. I was a big city boy.
Yeah, but do you love it here?
I do now. Yeah. It's nice. The people are amazing. There's a big sense of community.
At night time, you know, is it wise to kind of walk kind of a few hundred yards, or are you best just to drive?
Best would be to drive, but in town, we all walk. You keep your head up at night a little bit more than you would during the day. You know, don't take back alleys, yeah. Try to stay on the main roads. Almost everyone leaves their vehicles unlocked, their houses unlocked. We've had bears break two windows in our restaurant.
So really?
They've never entered the building. They've gotten scared with the noise the window makes when it shatters. That window up there is a plexiglass window, and that window up there is a plexiglass window as well. So it's been pretty close.
Do you see them as a problem?
We're the problem, right? We're the ones that built a town, and they're migratory paths. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we had a young girl get attacked, an older gentleman get attacked 2 years ago now, I believe. So, I mean, if you ask them, yeah, it's a problem.
A sign outside the diner saying, the place to be in Churchill.
At this time of year, it's easy to be lulled into a false sense of security by these beautiful animals. But an adult male can weigh upwards of 500 kilograms, and on its hind legs can be up to 3 meters tall. They're fearless hunters, and if a chance to eat anything presents itself, they'll take it. The last fatal attack on a human happened right on the main street in 1983. Keeping the peace since then is a small team of rangers working for Manitoba Conservation, aka the Polar Bear Cops.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for letting me ride along.
Today I'm heading out on patrol with Brett Wylock.
It's been getting busier every week now, and it will be until the end of November.
Is this a hotspot, this area?
Yeah, we'll get a lot of bear sightings because it's so close to town.
As they're driving along,
that's the polar bear line.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll see. What we got?
Polar bear alert.
What have we got?
False alarm.
Ah!
Sorry.
Ah!
They cruise onwards alongside the bay.
The polar bear alert phone number is advertised all over town, so locals and visitors can be Brett's eyes and ears on the ground. Another line of defence are polar bear traps, deployed around the outskirts of town.
This trap is baited with seal meat in a bag, so the bear would be attracted to that.
Yeah, you can smell it.
And as soon as that bait is pulled, the door will drop and the bear will be caught.
And that little black box there?
That black box is a satellite transmitter that sends us a signal as soon as the door drops.
Okay.
So I can be lying in bed at home or sitting in the office and I'll get a message on my phone that says, trap number 8, door is dropped.
A bear in a trap.
The Polar Bear Alert Program has been running since 1969, designed to stop attacks on humans and reduce the number of bears being killed. Using tip-offs from the public, conservation officers began intercepting bears long before they reached the town to prevent dangerous confrontations.
Were they going back towards the...
But they said it was walking towards the road.
Today, officers use a range of techniques to chase the bears away.
It could be as easy as driving our truck up to the bear and honking the horn. I've got different sirens on my...
You just made me very jealous. I wish I'd known about that before.
You can try it if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go all the way through them. Oh, that... That one would do it for me. That kind of went through me. Oh, or that one. So what's the most effective one?
I like this one. I don't know why. It's the one that I go to.
Yeah, I wouldn't be scared of this one. That sounds a bit comedy, that one.
If I have to get out and follow the bear, I take my shotgun with me. Some bears will respond to a cracker shell. They'll run away scared. They'll never come back. Some bears won't move, at which point you'd have to step up to the rubber slug. So what it is a rubber slug inside, and this is actually what's inside of it.
That's gonna hurt.
You know, if that doesn't work, we have the option of hiring a helicopter, try to move the bear that way. Last resort would be a slug to euthanize a bear if we needed to.
That's when human life is in danger,
yes,
presumably.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We don't take that very lightly.
Yeah.
So on average, there's 1.5 bears euthanized per year. You know, the bears are a threatened species. We don't want to have to do that. We have a pretty good record of not euthanizing bears.
It's true that fewer bears are killed than in the old days. But one reason for this is that some bears are now locked up. Those that can't be chased away are tranquilized. And along with any bears in the traps, they're taken to a holding facility on the edge of town, better known as Polar Bear Jail.
A large hangar.
Cameras aren't allowed in these days, but footage from a few years ago shows the holding cells. Bears are given water, but no food, as that might encourage them to come back. So these days, it's rare to see a bear in town in broad daylight. Although at night, it's a different matter. There are plenty of dark alleys in this town. And bear season coincides with one night of the year when everyone wants to be out on the streets.
Trick or treat!
Halloween is a big deal in Churchill. So the whole community comes together to make sure the town is kept clear of bears.
A truck trundles down a dimly lit street, illuminating the road ahead with its headlights. Daytime, and grey waters are rolling into shore.
Back in 2013, Halloween itself passed without incident.
It's hard enough walking, but being pulled by two strong dogs.
But in the early hours of the following morning, Erin Green had a horrifying encounter.
This is where it happened?
Yes, yeah. I had been at a friend's house with two other people, and it was approximately 5 o'clock in the morning. We had been outside for 2 minutes. And just as we began crossing the street, that's when my friend Nikki saw the bear kind of just
charging
at us, yeah. And so she said, oh my God, guys, there's a bear. For one tiny little second, I did look at the bear and think that it was cute. So there was like this, the first thing was like, oh wow, like it's really cute. And then like that was like a tiny little smidgen of a second. Yeah. And then it was like horror and terror that just took over. When I saw the bear running towards us, I knew right away that it was gonna be me. Because I made contact with the bear's eyes. Like I knew that he was coming for me.
Really?
Yeah. When I realized that there was nowhere that I could go and there was nothing that I could do, I just kind of grounded myself and just prepared to fight. He kind of made like a little circle almost to get to the back of my head. And then I tried to punch it and kick it, and it kind of had its paws on my shoulder. So its jaw was on my head, and then it was using my back and my shoulders kind of as leverage, like to tear at my scalp. I thought that my feet were on the ground the entire time, mm-hmm. but then when I heard other people's versions of the stories, apparently I was a couple of feet, like 5 feet off the ground and in his mouth. And from what I've heard, he was kind of hitting me into that blue house. Like he was shaking me like a rag doll. I could feel that he was ripping my scalp off. I could feel that, you know, that there were punctures in my body, but I couldn't feel any pain whatsoever.
And at one point, did you just black out?
No, I was conscious during the whole thing, yeah. I was getting really weak, and I knew that I was very injured. And at that point, I thought, this is how I die. And no one's coming. No one's coming to help me. I screamed as loud as I could. It's just me and him, and this is how I go.
Thankfully, Erin's screams woke up 69-year-old Bill Ayat, who came outside and confronted the bear. Erin was dropped and made her escape, but her rescuer wasn't so lucky.
He ended up grabbing a shovel and just came right at the bear and smacked it in the eye. And then that's when the bear started to attack him. And then it became this just crazy chaotic scene where people didn't know what to do because the bear was so close to him that if they shot at the bear, they risked, you know, injuring him as well. People were just throwing anything like shoes, salad bowls, whatever they could do. They were yelling, they were screaming. Another guy put his gun down and charged the bear with his vehicle. That's what eventually scared the bear up the street.
Amazingly, both Erin and Bill escaped with their lives and made full recoveries. But the bear was put down by conservation officers.
And what's your view of polar bears? Has that changed?
I always loved them, and I mean, the fact is that that's what they do, right? They're trying to survive as well, and their life is probably a lot harder than mine is. And he was just doing what he needed to do to try to survive, and I can't blame an animal for doing that.
As a temporary resident of Churchill, what one piece of advice you'd give to me, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. Don't eat too many donuts at Gypsies.
that's advice I do actually need. Don't become a target.
I would just say that, you know, always keep your wits about you and look around. And I wouldn't walk after it gets dark. It's just not worth it. You could do it, and you could do it your whole life, and maybe nothing happens to you, but... after knowing what it's like to experience that, I just don't think it's worth that risk.
A yellow school bus drives down the road.
For the locals, Erin's story is a sobering reminder to stay vigilant. But in a small town like this, that ever-present risk seems to draw the community closer together. One fixture on the social calendar is the Friday night raffle at the Royal Canadian Legion, where I'm catching up with Dennis for a beer.
Gordon and Dennis are sitting at a table with bottles of beer.
It seems to be that Churchill is about polar bears and community. That's the two most common words in any conversation.
For sure, yeah. Well, I'm sure it's true in any small town, but here we do have that close contact with the polar bears, and so everybody's a bit more protective, you know, of what they're doing and bit more worried about their neighbor and yeah. their neighbor's kids and stuff like that.
That seems like a kind of northern thing where you have harsh climate. You have a set of communities that you don't have to like each other, but you have to be prepared to help each other.
Of course you do, yeah. We all have our little squabbles and differences. And if there's a bad bear encounter, you know, everybody's concerned, right? Because it concerns the whole, obviously it concerns everybody. There's a great sense of freedom in this town, but that's tempered with the fact that you have to look over your shoulder all the time. Does it bring us down or you know, does it bother us in a negative way? I don't know. I guess it does sometimes, but for the most part, we enjoy living with that edginess.
Yeah.
Outside, dusk is drawing in.
By the end of October, the bears haven't eaten properly for months. Some resort to chewing seaweed to pass the time. But their keen sense of smell will alert them if there's anything more appetizing in the area. So in Churchill, one of the least glamorous jobs is also one of the most important.
Gordon's helping out the bin men.
Not trying to steal your job, James. Or am I? Funny, just walking down the streets when the garbage is out, you can smell it. And if I can smell it on a street at 100 yards away, bears are going to be able to smell it a couple of miles away.
The man at the wheel today is Dennis Beardy.
When was the last time you saw one?
Yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. At the complex, they're trying to get into that bin. You'd see the bear paws all over, the prints all over the place. There's been bears just back here behind Gypsies the other week. They come right through town. Pretty much everybody knows not to leave their garbage out overnight because a bear will eventually roll around.
You just stay there, James. You take it easy.
Gordon tosses bin bags into the back of the truck.
So you kind of see people with shotguns and sort of people with kind of flare guns. Do you have anything? I don't see anything you've got.
I've actually got a flare gun right here.
Do you ever have to use that?
Actually, a couple weeks ago, there was a mother and cubs hanging around. We had to use it a couple times to scare them off.
Until a decade ago, household waste ended up at the open pit of the town dump. The sight of desperate polar bears rummaging for scraps was depressingly common.
Old film of two bears fighting at the tip.
Numbers painted on their sides identified which bears had already had run-ins with the polar bear cops. But with a feast like this on their migration route, there were plenty of re-offenders. These days, rubbish is safely stored behind the bear-proof gates of an old military hangar. But it still gives off an aroma that sensitive noses can pick up for miles around. And on my way out, I walk straight into another close encounter.
Filming a bear by a bear trap.
Hello, beautiful. Don't go in there, please don't go in there. The polar bear trap has a huge female polar bear at the back of it trying to get the seal meat. The meat is suspended just a foot away at the back of the trap. I think she maybe knows that if she goes into the trap, she's going to get stuck, and she's just pushing away at the back.
She's shoving violently at the back.
Freddy, can you just maybe back up slowly? Maybe about 15 metres or so. Okay. Bit more, Freddy, bit more. There she is. Okay, steady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So we've got mother and cub. In a situation like this, I would never ordinarily like to disturb a polar bear, but in this occasion, I really hope that I scare her off, because what I don't want her to do is to spend the next possibly 30 days in polar bear prison. And we're not only going to have one bear in polar bear jail. We're gonna have two. The baby's gonna have to go with her. Cub's looking a little bit bewildered. Kind of, it's almost as if it knows that its mum's doing something that it shouldn't be doing. Come on, Mum, just let's go. I don't want us to get into trouble.
As ever, word has spread fast, and a few other cars have turned up to enjoy the spectacle.
I'm slightly cautious because I don't want her to get spooked by any other vehicles that are coming down. If she runs straight towards me, that's not good. Come on, just go away. Give up. Okay. Just get ready. Maybe start the engine, Freddy. Don't go in the back. Okay, that's good. Please keep going, keep going. That's good. I'm gonna keep following her. Oh, what are you playing at? Oh. Somebody just started their car and it spooked her back the way. I don't know if she can get out that way. Maybe she can.
Thankfully, this is one mother savvy enough to avoid the trap. For now, at least.
Gordon sits in the open back of the truck, filming the mother and cub as they wander off.
Inland from Churchill is one of the biggest polar bear denning sites in the world. Wapusk National Park. Cubs are born in the winter and emerge from the den in spring.
Two cubs playing in the snow.
For the next 2 years, they won't leave their mother's side. In the autumn, when male bears are gathering at the coast, mothers with cubs stay away for as long as they can. Male bears can be twice the size of a female, and when hungry, they won't think twice about killing a cub.
A mother with her two cubs.
Eventually, the need to feed their young will draw all new mothers to the coast. But with the bay still free of ice, they need to be wary.
The mother and her two cubs run across the rocks.
Back in town, Brett and his team have been busy, and the holding facility is starting to fill up. To make room, a bear has been scheduled for release, far away from town. This spectacle has become a must-see Churchill event.
It's pretty surreal. It feels like a kind of a shuttle launch.
The rolling door of the hangar opens.
This is a young male polar bear. He's been in this holding area, in the polar bear jail, for 8 weeks now.
Bears are given a sedative before they come out of their cell, so they can be safely handled and transported to the release site.
It's not as if he's asleep, he's just completely immobilised, but his eyes are open, you could see him blink there. This bear is somewhat of a repeat offender. He's 6 years old. He has been in the clink six times. Every year of his life, he ends up in the same place, in the polar bear jail.
He's rolled onto a net.
During its 8 weeks in the holding facility, this bear has lost about a fifth of its body weight. Some believe not feeding the bears in captivity is cruel. But the policy is in line with studies showing that over the summer, bears lose about the same weight in the wild without access to seals.
A helicopter flies down towards the hangar. Tourists watch from behind a safety rope as the bears gathered up in the net and winched up by the helicopter.
Up, up and away. Now that is something you don't see every day.
Gordon climbs into another helicopter. A view from the first helicopter of the bear suspended in the net below it. Gordon takes photos out of the door of his helicopter.
It's really nice to get a different view of Churchill. You realise how small it is. It's surrounded by this wilderness. You've got this boreal forest, sort of tundra, the vast expanse of the Hudson Bay stretching off. Looking at the town, you feel like you could just flick it off the map. It would no longer exist.
Most of the bears that pass through town are heading north, where the fresh water coming from the Churchill River allows the sea to freeze that bit earlier. A release site has been chosen more than 30 miles north of town, in the hope that this bear will then continue out onto the bay when the ice comes.
The yellow helicopter, with the bear suspended in a net below it.
If they didn't actually take these bears into custody, they would literally be roaming the streets of Churchill, getting themselves into bother, breaking through the garbage cans, possibly posing a threat to people. So this really is sort of, like it or loathe it, this is just a necessary part of actually keeping the people and the polar bears safe.
The helicopter continues on its way to the drop-off site, which is marked on the tundra by two bright yellow barrels. Gordon's now on the ground near them.
Easy does it, easy does it.
The bear's gently lowered.
Nice and gentle, great. And then it's good to go. We can move forward a little bit now.
With the drug still wearing off, Brett wants to stick around for a few minutes to check that the bear is making good progress.
You can see that he's got a GPS tag on his right ear. That's a new initiative we're trying. We can see where the bear goes after we release it and, you know, if it is coming back to town.
Okay. And then will that drop off?
We'll likely remove it next year when he returns. You can see he's starting to move his head a little bit. In the next, 10, 15 minutes, he'll have his head up.
And how long before he's on his feet?
Probably an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gordon gets up close to take some photos while the bear is still sedated.
He's beginning to lift his head. He lifted about 3 inches. So he's coming out of this drug. We want him to either stay in this area or head further north. The one thing we don't want this bear to do is to walk the 60 kilometres back down the coast south towards town, because if he does that, he's going back to jail. I think if he started to get to his feet, you'd see how fast I could move.
With any luck, this bear will have a successful time hunting over the winter and survive plenty more years to come. But in the longer term, the prospects for this population of bears are uncertain.
You get a real sense of what the polar bear's natural habitat is from the air. Trees everywhere, freshwater rivers and lakes down there. You've got the ocean here, still not frozen. Looking out at this type of habitat, I would expect to see grizzly bears, maybe black bears, and moose, wolves. The fact that there are polar bears living in this type of habitat, it really does surprise me. This really is borderline polar bear habitat. And I don't think you can think about polar bears without thinking about their future, without thinking about climate change.
somewhere like this, I can't help but wonder, you know, how long will there be sea ice in this part of Hudson Bay? The climate is warming. A lot of what will happen in this area is uncertain. A lot of what will happen with polar bears is uncertain. But one thing is for sure, if the ice does not form in Hudson's Bay, polar bears cannot make a living. If the sea ice is to disappear, the polar bears will disappear with it.
The helicopter flies in over Churchill.
The sea ice now tends to form later each autumn and break up earlier each spring, leaving the bears with less time to hunt through the winter, which could already be impacting their numbers. It's now early November, and there's still no sign of the ice. But winter is clearly on its way. The bears are biding their time. Soon enough, they'll be out on the ice once again. Before they go, I want to see a little more of them. So I'm heading back out on the road with Dennis.
Hey, Gordon.
Taxi for Dennis. How are you?
Good, man. You?
Yeah, great.
They drive off down the main road out of town.
I think just in the time that I've been here, I've sort of getting to know the place better and better. And the more I get to know it, the more I like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. I think if this is the kind of place that if I had washed up here when I was early 20s...
You'd be a lifer.
Probably.
It's like a subtle beauty around here. It takes a bit of time for it to sink in.
Dennis has been working with Churchill's bears for more than 35 years. So after seeing it all firsthand, I'm keen to talk to him about how the bears are managed today.
I know the conservation officers don't like the term polar bear jail, but that's what it is. You know, I've never warmed to that as an idea or a concept, because that's not how a bear wants to spend, you know, 30 days of its year. Has it ever been suggested that Churchill just has a fence round it with sort of guards to an entry point at each end of the town and a guard? Yeah,
you hit the nail on the head with that one, Gordon. I mean, that's been bantered around for years. If you could use fencing to direct them as they flow through town, then you're doing the right thing. You don't have to use force, and you don't have to react with cracker shells and jail and all that other stuff. You know, no, I think there's other ways of dealing with these bears, certainly.
Longer term, most people here are aware that climate change is a serious threat to the bear's future. And that prospect has an effect on everything from the attitudes of tourists to the economic outlook of the town itself.
At one time, people come to Churchill with a big heart and just enjoyed over the fact that they're seeing these beautiful animals. They're happy as hell to see a bear, and they're thrilled the whole time they're here. Now these people, they come to Churchill, you know, they've got a little lump in their throat. It affects the locals as well, because the town of Churchill, the polar bear capital of the world, if you wanted to invest in a polar bear business, or if you wanted to build a new hotel, you know, the banks are going to say, well, I don't know if that's a good idea. The bears are going to be gone.
All across the world, wherever the environment is on the edge, the people who depend on that environment are on the edge too.
You can just go to the right here, and we'll get out and see where these elusive bears are.
They get out, and Dennis walks off, holding a gun. He loads a shell into it.
He's over there.
Over there?
Laying down. It's a well-fed
one. It's a big one. Let me grab my camera and get a better view.
Gordon sets up his camera to film the bear.
He's got his head up.
Yeah, it's curious about something.
It's weird.
Something going on.
It's running now.
Look at it, running.
What's going on? Oh, what's that? Is that an Arctic fox? Oh, I'm sorry, it's okay. A silver fox. You get silver foxes here.
Oh, yes, of course.
The silver fox trots across the frosty tundra.
They're pretty rare, silver foxes.
It's the first time I've ever seen one of them. It's a beauty.
Wow. Another bear. It just stuck his head up for a moment.
Where is it? There's another one there.
Yeah.
A polar bear turns its head.
That's a nice looking bear.
Spoilt for choice. It just shows you, you know.
You never can be alert enough, right?
No.
So I'll just have a cautionary look behind me now.
A polar bear pads slowly along.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. There's a majesty to them that is unrivaled. There's a confidence about them that you just don't see in any other animal. Beautiful.
A giant sun setting behind silhouetted evergreens. Then a line of vehicles trundling down the road, and the polar bear padding up to one.
Chap's getting some nice shots, presumably. It's amazing that people can come from around the world and see these animals. You know, we've got three cars full of people that are just, you know, probably having one of the most memorable moments of their lives.
The bear ambles past another vehicle where tourists are taking photos.
But I also think it's nice that before too long, these bears can actually leave this whole circus behind them. They could spend the whole winter without ever having to lay their eyes on a single human being. That must be nice for them. We always describe polar bears as a solitary animal. Around about here, it doesn't really seem that polar bears have kind of much opportunity to spend time alone. Oh, what's going on? Coming straight towards us.
Oh, yes.
So in a situation like this, if you have an active bear of any size, what distance do you start kind of thinking, well, it's time to get back in the vehicle?
40, 50 feet.
Yep.
If it senses danger or an opportunity to hunt, a polar bear can sprint at over 20 miles per hour. So, it's best not to try and outrun them.
I'm just keeping an eye on this bear through my camera. It skirted round, barely looking at us, but now that we are upwind of it, it's getting all of our scent blowing straight onto it, and it's suddenly very much aware that we're here. And it's gradually getting closer. So yeah. I think, make
Sorry,
a call.
Guys.
Yeah.
Wrap it up and we'll get back in.
That's a dashing distance for a bear like that.
Gordon loads the camera into the car and gets in.
These are bad bears. These are sub-adults, juvenile delinquents.
I'm gonna have to put my window up because of you, Bear.
Yeah, if he gets a bit too close, you can just start the engine. That's definitely a young male.
You beauty, but that's ridiculously close. 3 meters. Who needs one of those big long lenses when you can film a polar bear like this?
Get your hand on the key.
Put that window up. Slightly misting up in the car because we've got a whole crew of people breathing. He's giving it a good old sniff. Oh, well, literally, it's a foot from my face, this beautiful young male bear. Oh, gosh, that's just amazing. Hello. Oh, he's standing up.
Okay, start with that. That's enough. Not fooling around.
Okay.
The bear bashed his paws against the windows.
What's dangerous about that is that that pushing technique, polar bears are immensely powerful. And when they get their paws onto something, they can punch through ice, they can punch through thick snow, and they could punch through the window of a vehicle very, very easily. So that's dodgy.
The bear's shuffling away again.
Encounters like this are a reminder that while viewing wildlife up close is a memorable experience, our presence will always affect their behaviour. Managing the relationship between humans and bears is a huge challenge in Churchill. And the current system can sometimes seem a little over the top. The aim is to try and avoid conflict. But for me, I wish there could be a less intrusive approach.
A helicopter drops off another polar bear.
As the snow continues to fall, the polar bears still wait patiently for Hudson Bay to finally freeze over. For me, it's almost time to move on.
Gordon's setting up his camera one last time with Dennis.
That's a place that is a one-off. I don't know if it. There is nowhere else like it. The thing I really didn't expect was to come to Churchill and see how integral polar bears are to so many people's lives here. But these are undoubtedly tough times for polar bears. It's tough times for the Arctic. No one can say for sure what the future holds.
Without the sea ice, the bears will struggle to maintain a population here. If the bears do disappear, it won't be the end for Churchill, but the town will lose a fundamental part of its identity.
As I come to the end of my time here, you might think that I'd be sad about leaving, but I don't feel sad because I know that very soon after I leave, every single one of these polar bears will also leave. They'll leave all of these people behind. They'll just go back to being the thing that they are. One of the most incredible hunters that our planet has ever seen.
Gordon walks off with Dennis, his camera resting on his shoulder. A polar bear pads across tundra, covered in a light dusting of snow.
After I left, Churchill's polar bears had to wait a little longer. Across the Arctic, this was one of the warmest Novembers on record. But as December wore on, the ice around Churchill finally froze, and the bears went on their way.